こんにちは。
こんにちは。
バイリンガルニュースでは日本語と英語でニュースを紹介しています。その後にマイケルは英語で、私は日本語でバイリンガル会話形式でコメントしていきます。1個目、大阪大学大学院工学研究科のチームが子供型ロボットの頭部を新たに開発し、その表情の変化を高い精度で作り分けることに成功しました。これまでロボットの表情は大まかに表現されるにとどまっていましたが、アフェットと名付けられたこのロボットは、無表情から笑顔になるまでの微妙な変化を5パターンで表現可能になりました。研究では、アフェットの顔の表面116箇所の動きをモーションキャプチャーで精密に計測し、その変形を細かく操ることで、パッと開く笑顔や恐る恐る出す笑顔など、笑顔の種類に幅を持たせています。
A team of researchers at Osaka University's Graduate School of Engineering have developed a new head for childlike robots capable of precise facial expressions. Previous facial robotics have been crude in their expression, but the childlike robot Affetto can change its facial expression from expressionless to smiling in 5 unique movement patterns. In their research, they used motion capture to precisely measure movement at 116 locations in Affetto's face, enabling fine control of the face for different types of smiling.
そう、なんでアフェットって名前なんだろうね。あんまり日本のロボットっぽくないけど。
Do you know?
No.
Does that mean something?
わかんない。
Is it like an Italian word?
I don't know. でも動画が公開されていて、あの不気味可愛い感じの。
I saw it in it.I thought it would be less disturbing.
あのね、ロボットの上にシリコンみたいな皮膚がもちろん乗っかっていて、で髪の毛とか眉毛とかも生えてるんだけど、シリコンの切れ目が結構見えてるんだよね。それが多分不気味さに拍車をかけてしまっている感じはしたんだけど。
Kind of like Chucky or something.Like you can kind of see the parts.
Yeah, この口角のとこね、こう切れ目が入ってるから、まあそんなとこを注目してほしいわけじゃないと思うんだけど、あの人間の表情ってやっぱり左右非対称だったり、あのまあ同じ笑顔って言っても素早くパッて笑顔になる場合と徐々に笑顔になったりとか、表情筋の動きの速度も表情によって変わるんだよね。それをこうちゃんとモデル化することによって細かく表現するっていう、だからこの皮膚の部分はやっぱり柔らかいから、その兼ね合いが難しいみたいで、そのこれまではもうちょっと曖昧に評価されてた部分をきちんとこうやって定数的に評価することで、ちゃんとあの幅広い表情を表現できるようになりますよっていうことらしい。
I think we're learning a lot more about faces recently. From AI and from the sort of dot mapping of like moving faces. Yeah, especially the moving part. It was difficult to get all the data from a moving face before.
Yeah.
But now...You know, the iPhones just slap the ears and glasses and all that stuff on your face, and it kind of knows what your expressions are. Pretty soon, I think that technology will be able to read your emotions pretty precisely, maybe tell whether you're lying or not, just from looking at your face. So you're just, or whether you're plotting something evil. You know, there could be cameras on the street just scanning your face for devious...Undercurrents of emotion.
Yeah, それこそ今アプリで、今マイケルも言ったけど、顔の上になんかウサギの耳がついたり口がついたりして、自分が動いたり喋ったりしてもそれが追いついてくるっていうの、当たり前みたいにみんな子供でも使ってるけど、本当につい最近まですごいお金をかけて映画でそういう技術を使ったりしてたわけじゃない？ CG とか。
Like the mustache erasing.
Yeah, だからそれがここまで誰にでもしかも無料で使えるっていうのはすごい変化だよね。
They have this live technology now where it, I think they're using AI for this or some neural network, but it analyzes your face in real time as you're talking and constructs those movement patterns inside someone else's face. So as you're talking and acting or whatever, some, you know, Obama's face moves as if he's saying exactly what you're saying.
Talked about that study, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's the technology.
Yeah, so we're at that level. Plus, we've got, I don't know if you've seen the Chinese news announcer.
Oh, yeah.
The AI Chinese news announcer. And its face looks pretty natural.
Mm.
Like the way that it talks and kind of moves its head around, and all the subtleties are kind of falling into place with that stuff.
Mm. Yeah. このアフェットも、まあ、やっぱりでもどうしても不気味の谷現象があるから、こう可愛い。でも動画の後半の方が可愛い感じはあった。最初ちょっと、あれ怖いかもって思ったけど。
What do they need to fix, you think? And how long do you think that will take before we are satisfied with ourRobot children.
まあ私がこの素人目で動画を見てて思ったのは、下まぶたっていうの、の動きはすごいリアルだなって思った。この目の下側が動く感じ、下まつげのところ。ただなんか、やっぱりそのシリコンの切れ目が何度も言うけど、目と口のこうシリコンの切れ目が怖いから、あれがなかったらもっとちょっと怖さはないのかな?
Is there some similar effect that you feel when you see this and then you see someone who's had either severe Botox or plastic surgery and their face isn't operating with the correct accuracy or whatever?
だから確かにすごい整形しすぎとか Botox やりすぎて顔が動かない人を見て、えってちょっとざわざわするのも多分不気味の谷現象だもんね、同じだもんね、こう人間なんだけど何かが違うっていうのをやっぱり一番ざわざわしちゃうっていう。
I'm sure they must be thinking about this more now, but I think a lot of the early facial plastic surgery was focused on what your face looks like on Instagram or something, like a still you know, resting face thing, because the deficiencies are more apparent with movement, I think, and expression.
そうだね。だからよくこの目頭を切る手術やってる人いるじゃん。目を大きくするために。あれも前から見たら別に、あ、目大きいなって感じなんだけど、動いちゃうとどうしてもこう斜めの角度から見るとやっぱ見えちゃいけないところまで見えてんだよね。
You know, it's crazy how good our eyesight is if you really think about it. Like how much you can really see. Like,
eyesight ってか、むしろスパットディフェンス的なことだよね。何かがオフになって、何かがおかしいっていうのをやっぱり感じ取る能力があるから。
It seems like robot faces are still quite a ways out from that. But I like their idea here with this, kind of this feedback. What they need is to incorporate, I mean, this is what I say for everything, artificial intelligence, so that a fedo can see its own expression. So like we have intelligence and you can stand in front of a mirror, and if someone tells you to act surprised, you don't really know what you're doing unless you look at yourself in the mirror and practice acting and stuff, right? And I think AI would be capable of doing the same thing. And what we were lacking is we had very precise input, but we didn't really have a precise way to quantify the output, which is how is the silicone surface moving, not what are the parts inside doing. That's not the important part. The important part is the emergent effect of that movement on the surface, and how that correlates to actual human movement. But it seems like there's a very clear path to get extremely realistic facial movements from this point till there, I can't imagine it taking that long, actually.
ね、このチームの人でバイリンガルの人いないかな。話聞きたいよね。なんかまさにウェストワールドの世界じゃん。
Mm-hmm.
あれはもう本当にシームレスに完全に人間に間違えられちゃうようなロボットができてる世界の話だけど、それにこう、yeah. いかに近づいているかっていう。
Robots have advanced so much recently.
Mm.
Like, we're in the Terminator zone. Like, this is it. This is the Terminator era.
Yeah.
Right? We're definitely there, right?
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
Like, is anyone...
だって昔はさ、結局、相棒があって、まあ誰でも、mm. 高いけど誰でも買えますよっていう感じだったじゃない、
mm.
で、相棒のことを不気味とか怖いっていう人がいなかったじゃん。なぜなら、そういう動きじゃないから。もっとぎこちなくて、
うん、
あのもう完全にロボットって感じ、おもちゃって感じだったから、うん、ただ今のさ、例えばボストンダイナミクスみたいなやつが相棒ですって言って売ってたら、うん、絶対もっとすごいリアクションだと思うんだよね、みんな、うん、気持ち悪いとか怖いとか。
Someone should build and sell a scary looking functional humanoid robot just to get the reaction from the publicthat we need to really check ourselves on this subject. Because you know that Boston Dynamics and all these other robot companies are spending all this time making the cutest possible, most disarming, least threatening looking robots, when the reality is that the technology underneath it, the hardware, is just as lethal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just what you're telling it to do. That's the difference.
Mm.
So we're kind of...We've been disarmed by these twerking dog robots、
yeah.
and flying Disney superhero robots, and we haven't really had a chance to like properly react. The only Terminator things that we've reacted to are in movies.
Yeah.
So it kind of creates this false impression that dangerous robots are in movies and the real ones are ones that help old people、
yeah.
and twerk. But
やっぱりオリエン工業フィーチャリングボストンダイナミックスみたいなことだよね、yeah. それが見てみたい。
Like, can someone make a scary robot on purpose just as like a social experiment? Because、
うん、
it's we're entirely in the I mean this is totally not in the interest of the robotics industry、
yeah.
so no one would
だから誰もやんないよね。
No one would do this. 、yeah and the success of the robotics industry will obviously save a lot of people's lives and there's a huge、mm. upside to it. So my idea is probably a horrible idea. But I'm extremely curious、
yeah.
for that like real...
Because
you know they have Terminators like in the back room of Boston Dynamics somewhere. Like...
Waiting to get unleashed.
Yeah.
次、5人の子供を持つインスタセレブのケイティ・バウアーさんが息子の6歳の誕生日に以下の文章を投稿して炎上し話題となっています。正直言ってインスタでこの子がライクをもらえなくて本当に悲しくなる。彼の写真だけライクやコメントが少ない。統計的に見て他の子より人気がない。アルゴリズムにちゃんと引っかかっていないのかもしれないし、下の子たちが次々生まれてこの子の赤ちゃんの時期が短かったせいかもしれない。みんな赤ちゃんが好きだから、彼のせいだと思いたくないから私のせいであってほしい。この統計的不足が発生したのは私のせいのはず。だってこの子はみんなに愛されるべきで、細い目だって可愛いから。他人がライクをくれなくてもこの子はライクをもらう価値がある。私のことや私の子供、結婚、家、人生、私の何にだって他人がどう思おうが小さい写真で見るより実際の方が10億倍いいってことを、この子の6歳の誕生日に私がちゃんと分かっていてよかった。
Instagram celebrity mother of 5 Kate Bauer posted the following message on her son's 6th birthday. Guys, I am going to be perfectly honest. Instagram never liked my munchkin and it killed me inside. His photos never got as many likes, never got comments. From a statistical point of view, he wasn't as popular with everyone out there. I saw all that because I want to believe that it wasn't him, that it was on me. My insufficiency caused this statistical deficit, because obviously my munch should get all the love, and squinty eyes are totally adorable. So we can do this, right? Because I truly know that my munch deserves all the likes, whether or not a stranger gives it to them. And on his 6th birthday, I am thankful that I know that whatever other people think of me, or my family, or my life, they are 1 billion times better than any tiny picture could hold.
これをまあただマイケルに読ませたかっただけマイケルにマイマンチキンって言わせたかっただけっていう
マイマンチ
あれもあるけど、まあこれがすごい炎上して、あの海外ではメディアでも取り上げられちゃってるっていうことなんだけど、
うん、
ど
う思う？
なんかね、ブラックミラーのエピソードで、あのライクの数で受けられるサービスとか住める家のグレードとか変わる世界の話があったのね、
うん、
でこの女性はインスタセレブだから、インスタでライクをもらうことによってお金が入ってくるわけじゃん、
うん、
だからまさにそのブラックミラーの世界に彼女は住んでるわけなんだよね。ライクの数がお金に直結してるっていう、
うん、
だから多分こういう考え方になるんだなって思って、
うん、
こういい悪いっていうよりかはすごい面白いって思った。なんかリアルブラックミラーみたいな。
Yeah. Do you? How were people reacting to this? I didn't really see all the. I saw someone say like, I just deleted all the pictures of my son on Instagram because
wow.
I think this is bad for us. And like a lot of people had a really negative, like they saw Black Mirror.And then they saw her post, and they're like,
like,
holy smokes, we gotta get off of this.
そうね。
It does control your mind, and it does...
そう。
It's, you become brainwashed. You have to relinquish your sanity to these algorithmic mechanisms.
うん。まあ結構、批判してる人も多くて、私個人的には、まあ、この人が別に息子をどういうふうに育てているとか、息子に対してどういうふうに接しているかっていうのはさ、誰にも分かんないから、別にこの人がなんていうの、悪いお母さんみたいに言われはないと思うんだけど、ただ単純にやっぱり SNS でお金を稼ぐ、でそこにやっぱり子供の写真を載せたりしている以上、確かにこういうふうに思っちゃうだろうなっていうのはあるよね。だからそれは怖いよね。
But there's also tremendous irony to this post.
そう。で、最後にね、補足として、将来、息子はこの数字を見たときに、まあ、彼のセルフエスティームが傷つくかもしれないから、それが心配みたいなことを言ってて、でそこで、なぜなら、数字は大事じゃないから、みたいなことを言ってんのね。だけど、
right.
めちゃくちゃ気にしてるじゃん。
Yeah, we can do it, guys.
そう、なんか数字を一番気にしてるのは自分だから、
yeah.
その他人がどう思おうと、写真より実際の方が10億倍いいんだってわざわざ言ってる時点で、やっぱりどうしても他人にライクをどうやったらもらえるかっていうのを気にしてるっていうのが透けて見えちゃってるから、ただ今の時代、すごい若いうちから SNS を使って、お互いライクしないといけないプレッシャーがあってとか、今の子たちは、
like for like. Like back.
そうだから、そういう世代がやっぱり親になるっていうのは当然訪れてるわけで、そうすると確かに自分の写真のうちはまだいいけど、子供の写真にどれぐらいライクつくとか、あの人の子供はこんなにライクついてるとか、この人の場合はその他にも子供がいるから、その子供5人の中でこの子よりこの子の方がライクが少ないって言っているわけじゃない、だから確かにそういうふうに思う人も出てくるよなっていう、こう
I think most people, I think everyone is susceptible to that. If you play that game, you will, I mean, you may not take it as far as her, but you're not ignoring the number of likes or how people respond to things. It's actually impossible. And so it's very dangerous. I think it's very dangerous. She's clearly not thinking clearly.
そうで、特にその、まあ、彼女みたいに、まあ、家も公開して、家族全員顔も出して、名前も出してる。で、子供たちももちろん年齢から何から全部公になってるってなると、自分とそのオンラインのパーソナリティがかけ離れてないというか、くっついちゃってるから、確かにそうするとオンラインでの評価が実際の評価かのように思ってきちゃうのは、人間としてなかなか避けられないよね。
there's so much cognitive dissonance in what she's saying, like internal contradiction.
Yeah.
That I just blank out when I try to sort it, sort it through it.
そうなんだよね。
Because she's signaling that she's not someone who cares about this stuff.
Mm.
That's very superficial. Only the dumbest person would buy that. Because it's just the post itself just reeks of the opposite.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you get this like signaling aspect to social media behavior. And then when it's just so clearly in contradiction to what you're doing, I can't imagine just the mental labyrinth that she's constructed in her head to stay sane while she does all this stuff and says all this stuff.
Yeah.
That it seems like one thing is what she's signaling. It's not true. And the real reality is actually kind of depressing, you know,
yeah.
how much she's, you know, been invaded by this. You know, we live in environments, infrastructures, in a way where you move inside them in the way according to how you are punished or rewarded. Like the way you get from here to the supermarket, or, you know, the way we move around the city, for example, you go and you might take the train instead of a car because there's traffic and all this stuff. But we have this virtual, sort of invisible landscape infrastructure online that incentivizes us to do different things the same way that our physical reality does. And I don't think that those structures are conducive to happy, sane human beings right now.
Yeah, あとその今までやっぱり子供に対して他人の評価がすごい気になるとか、それによって子供を頑張らせるみたいな、ステージママとか、一部の人だったけど、
yes.
その、今こういうふうに、例えばライクの数をすごい気にして悲しくなったりする人が親になって、そういう人の子供がいるわけじゃん。だから子供からして、それを見て育つわけだから、
mm-hmm.
なんていうの?あ、ライクないとダメなんだみたいなさ、なんかライクないとお母さん悲しくなっちゃうとか、
yeah.
っていうのはやっぱり私たちの世代では経験してないことだから。
It sounds like the worst.
だから不思議な時代だなっていうのはすごい思った。
Likes for my mom.
So my mom will be sad.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't get enough likes.
The worst part to me is probably, kind of this pile-on culture of judging people for saying something stupid on social media. And I do think that what she's saying and the way that she's thinking is not good.
Mm.
But I also think another aspect of her position on social media is that you're so open to just the most brutal criticism, pile-on, like the viralness is so undeserved.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like yeah,
And this is just how the internet works. But you can just really mess up and just the pile on is just gargantuan. And that's kind of part of this online culture. Like everyone is can interact with everyone else so directly and so immediately and find out about something that's upsetting so easily. And everyone says really dumb things. Like, I think every single person has said something dumb enough to get them absolutely incinerated online.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
every
yeah.
human being. It's just, you know, you didn't tweet that particular thing to a big enough audience or whatever, you know? So it's kind of a weird aspect of the modern world, I guess.
難しいよね。だから、私たちは顔出してないし。
Mm-hmm.
だからインスタとかもあるけど、まあ私も子供の写真なんか一部とか載せるけど、顔が載ってるわけじゃないし、なんだろう、ある意味それによって自分とディタッチしてるから、なんかライクの数とかを気にする必要もないじゃん。なんか見えないから、なんかみんなから見えてないから別に評価され てようがされてまいがあんまりさ関係ないというか、
うん、
ただ確かに顔全部出してたらそりゃなんかね、じゃあ新しい髪型にした時とかにさすごい言われたりするわけじゃん、あ似合ってないとかさそれをじゃあ10人とかでもね言われたら、
うん、
普通の生活ではありえないから、
うん、
まあ傷つくだろうし、
well, the response to things can be so incredibly disproportionate、just because of the dynamics of social interaction onlineAnd it's not that serious for more people. But when it's happening to you, it seems extremely serious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so people kind of put more weight on things than... Like someone says something mean to you on Twitter, and you could have that thing bouncing around inside your head for like 3 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they didn't think... They forgot about that shit like 2 minutes after they tweeted it.
Yeah.
Like they just, boom, and they just walk away and they're off to shitting on someone else or something.
So the...そのされた時の反応もやっぱり人によって違うじゃん、その反応をどれだけ深く受け止めるかっていう。だから一回覚えてるのはツイッターで誰かになんか意見を言われて、
うん、
私は普通にそれに、まあ、同意してないから返信したんだよね、まあ、私はそう思わないよっていうのを、別に私は怒ってもないし、ただ単純に違う意見ですよっていうのを返事をしたんだけど、その私の返事を見てうちのフォロワーの人たちが私の返信に何人かライクをしたんだよね、
うん、
そしたらその元々こうの人は自分がこう結構アグレッシブに話しかけたから、
うん、
多分こう私も怒ってるだろうってまず間違って想定してるじゃん、
uh-huh.
でさらにそこに知らない人たちがライクしてきたから、
uh-huh.
なんかこうすごいみんなから攻撃されたみたいな感じに思っちゃった人がいて、
うん、
怖いみたいな言われて、私はなんかえなんでみたいな。でもそれもさ、
It is though. It can be.
そうだから、そのなんていうんだろうね、温度差がすごいじゃん。もともとどういうふ
う
に想定してるかっていう期待値によって、
うん、
こう想像が膨らみすぎて、
うん、
こうで多分ライクした人もそんな大して思ってない。あそうだねぐらいのいいねなんだけど、うん、こう多分その人にとってはすごい、まあ、あんま慣れてないっていうのもあるけど、多分ねその人は。
I don't know if people get that used to it though. You know, we've got super genius Elon Musk is not exactly perfectly smooth on Twitter either. Like everyone、
right.
seems to have Jack Dorsey just went up in flames.
ただなんか思うのはそのなんかをツイッターで言った時に誰かから返信とか本人から返信が来るかもしれないっていうのをなぜか全く思ってない人が結構いるんだよね。だから
It's totally possible.
だからこう返信した時にすごい、しかもネガティブな意味で驚かれるみたいな、なんかこっちがびっくりするじゃん、
うん、
いや話しかけてきたから返しただけなんだけどみたいなさ、
うん、
だから難しいよね。多分顔を見て話してたら絶対そんなことにならないし、多分もっと笑いながら話せると思うんだけど。
Yeah. Well, this is that whole thing about giving people the benefit of the doubt.
そうなの。そうなんだよ。
Everyone just assumes that people have bad intentions.
そうそうそう。
You know, even if I was arguing with someone on the internet, like I don't have any bad intentions. I want us to come to the same, you know, some kind of understanding.
だからもうそれ以降はすごい絵文字をつけてる。
うん。
なんか怒ってないよっていうのを表すためになんか普通に喋ってますよっていう、なんか読み方によるじゃんね。だからへー知りませんでしたとかだとしても、
うん、
へー知りませんでしたって脳内で再生するのか、へー知りませんでしたって再生するのかによって変わってきちゃう。全然意味が変わっちゃうから。
It's skews towards like negative, you know?
そうなので、大体悪い方に読まれちゃうから、もう絵文字をなんか可愛い絵文字をつけて、あのトーンをちょっと想像しやすくするっていう。
I think you need to add like two emoji and then you're neutral.
そうだね。
You know,
そうだ、だから
if you want to actually say something positive, you have to like go so
over the top. もうハート5個ぐらいつける。
Yeah. So impossible now.
そうだから、インターネットっていうかやっぱり文面だけでやり取りするっていうことの難しさはあるよね。あの特に会ったことない相手だと悪い風に捉えられがちだから。
うん。
次、 スクールダッシュが2015年から2018年の間にイギリスの2000の公立小学校に通う150万人の小学生を対象に行った調査で、夏に生まれた早生まれの子供は早生まれでない子供に比べて統一テストの点数が低い傾向にあることが分かりました。最も差が出るのが4歳から5歳の算数のスコアで、平均 7.5% 低くなっており、6年生になると 3.6% と縮まるものの、差がなくなることはありませんでした。学校別で見ても早生まれの子供の割合が多い学校はそうでない学校と比較し、算数と国語の平均点が低くなっていました。
School Dash conducted a survey from 2015 to 2018 of 1,500,000 elementary school students attending 2,000 different schools in the United Kingdom and found that children born in the summer tended to score lower on academic tests.Between children 4 and 5 years old, there was a 7.5% difference in math scores. And while the difference shrinks to 3.6% by 6th grade, it does not disappear. They also found that schools with more children born in the summer performed worse overall than schools with more children born in other seasons.
そう、イギリスは数年前に早生まれの子が1年遅れて学校に入ることができるようになったんだよね。で、それの効果とかを探るために結構これに関する論文が出ていて、日本語だと早生まれ遅生まれっていうからすごい私的に分かりにくいんだよね。なんか逆の感じしない？なんか日本語だと早く生まれて早く学校入るから早生まれ早いって言ってるんだけど、私のイメージだとさ、その学年の中では遅く生まれてるから逆じゃないって思いたいんだけど。
I feel like I'm okay with either. I just want everyone else to pick one.
このノート作るときにさ、あれってちょっと思って、最初遅生まれって訳してて。
Now I forgot which one's which.
だからうちの。
But kids that go into grade, into school younger than their pupils, their
そうそう
classmates, are obviously not going to perform as well.
そうそう。で、イギリスとかアメリカはね、9月から学校が始まるから、夏生まれが一番早生まれになっちゃう。で、日本は4月から始まるから。
It has nothing to do with like the temperature or the.
あ、そういうことじゃない。
多分。The climate, right?
、うん、like,
is there anything? I thought they did find something like.People born in certain seasons have slightly different characteristics.
ああ、まあ、ああ、それもある。そういう研究もあるけど、これは単純に発達度合いが違うから、日本も、4月1日だか3月31日の時点で満6歳になった子は入るから、3月31日に生まれた子と4月1日に生まれた子だと学年が変わっちゃうんだよね。がそうすると、つまり同じクラスの中でも、ほとんど1年生まれた年が違う子が同じスタートになっちゃうっていうことで。
You're also physically smaller.
そう。
You're probably less cool. You're less cool, right? Because you're physically smaller, and you're dumber, and you're, I mean...On average, for any individual, you don't know. You can easily be a year younger, and
そうで、まさに、
but it's less the younger it is, the younger the kids are. I think the larger that gap is going to be because they're growing faster.
そう、大人は1歳違いでも別に何も変わらないけど、子どもの1年って本当にすごい大きいから、体の発達もそうだし、でうちの夫はね、まさに夏生まれなのよ。でインターだから9月始まりじゃん。だから早生まれで、まあただ運動ができたから別に自分はそんなにディスアベンテージと思わなかったって彼は言ってたけど、でも発達のスピードはやっぱり子供によって違うから、発達が結構遅めなのに早生まれの子とかっていうのは確かにすごいね、遅れてる風になっちゃって最初はかわいそうかなって思った。
Yeah, I guess if you're born in the summer, then you should probably do a little bit extra to compensate.
そう、うちの子も7月生まれだから、インターに、 行ったり、まあ、海外で学校行ったら早生まれになっちゃうから、mm.
But you know, I think if you said if you send kids to like Kumon or
yeah.
get tutoring or if you sit down and you do math with them, makes a big difference. Because my mom would help me learn math
right.
when I was really young. And I'd memorize everything before all the other kids did and stuff. And
right.
so like that made a huge difference in my life because it was like, oh man, I'm smart as shit. You know, just because I got a little bit of help
yeah.
early.
ただでも体育の授業とかの時にはさどうしてもこう差ができてそれをこう、うん、なんていうの、まあ、その子が努力してどうなるもんじゃないじゃんでもそれを本人がどこまで理解してるかによってこう苦手意識とかが生まれちゃったりする場合もあるのかなとかちょっと思ったけど、
うん、
こう子供って本当に発達の度合いが子供によって全然違うもんね
Yeah. Well, oldest kid versus youngest and how the parents are. I mean, all this stuff is just makes an enormous difference, right?
Yeah.
So.
確かにそういう差がすごいある中で誕生日で区切って、その無理やりさ、まあ便宜上の問題で学年を決めなくちゃいけないわけじゃない?で同じ席に座って授業を受けなきゃいけないっていうのは確かにちょっと辛いもんがあるよね。
Doesn't Elon School have like no grades or something?
Grades もないんだっけ?
I thought so.
あ、それ忘れちゃった。それに行かせたいよね、めっちゃ。すごい頭良くなりそうじゃん。
But I mean, no matter what you do, you're gonna have some kids who are younger, you know, and I don't know. I think it's, I mean, it.You're micromanaging. Kids need to be micromanaged anyway, so...
Yeah.
It's not like... I don't know. Make your kid as smart as possible. And...
ねえ、それすごい考えるよね。なんかどういう学校に行かせたらいいとかさ、じゃあ幼稚園の時、mm-hmm. どういう幼稚園に行くとか。まあまだ早いけど。
But more than that is going to be like...You know, what are their early internet habits like? Something like that is going to have a way larger impact than like what school they go to. Like everyone's going off in all their own directions. Like we're going to all, like kids, 20 years from now, kids are going to be barely recognizable to each other. Like everyone's going to go off in their own thing, do what they want. That's what started, that's what's been happening. Our generation was the first generation to be like, you know what, I don't need to go work for Toshiba. I'm going to try to do something else. 20 years from now, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's going to be totally different, you know? Everyone's going to be like 12-year-olds inventing ocean sweeping robots and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. まあまだ4ヶ月だからいいか。考えな
くて。Chill.
そう本当にゆっくり発達してほしいむしろ
There is I think there's a lot to learn from nature when you're very young and you should spend time with bugs and lizards and trees and all that stuff because it's hard to appreciate that stuff when you're older and you don't have fond memories of interacting with nature
そうでもうちはだからこんなに、なんていうの、都会に住んじゃってるけど、猫がいるから、
うん、
猫を最近すごい見るの、
うん。
すごい観察してて、だから人間じゃない生き物が近くにいるっていうのは結構大事かなって思ってる。
うん、There's so much nature, even close to Tokyo. Tokyo has so much nature, like
この辺ね、
very close
結構、
by.
うん、公園も多いし。
I mean, when I go to like,Narita Kuko, I'm like, holy shit. This is like the wild out here. You know? And it's not crazy far. Or like Okutama or...
Okutama すごいよね、本当ね。
Yeah.
そうそうそう。
That's really not that far.
Yeah.
Mm.
そうだね。でも楽しいけどね、本当に。毎日。違うことできるようになって。
次 Termites spent nearly 4,000 years building 200 million massive cone-shaped mounds in northern Brazil, which are visible from space, contain a vast network, and span the area of Great Britain. The mounds are 2.5 meters tall and 9 meters wide at the base, each one a waste point for dumping excavated soil and debris. According to a new study published in Current Biology, a single species of termites has been constructing these networks since the time of the pyramids, molding them generation after generation. In total, they have moved around 10 square kilometers of dirt, enough material to build 4,000 Great Pyramids of Giza. The mounds were discovered a few years ago when land was cleared for pasture. The network enabled the termites to safely capture dead leaves from the floor, and so the mounds are spaced accordingly.
シロアリが4000年の年月をかけて作った2億個もの巨大なアリ塚がブラジル北部で発見されました。アリ塚はそれぞれ高さ 2.5 メートル、幅9メートルで、アリの巣を作る際に掘り出した土砂でできており、その面積はイギリスの国土と同程度に及んでいます。Current Biology に掲載された論文によると、これらはすべてシロアリの単一種が古代ピラミッドの時代から世代を超えて作り上げてきたもので、合計で10平方キロメートル分の土砂を動かしており、これはギザのピラミッドを4000個分の材料に相当します。このアリ塚の大群は数年前に土地を牧草地にする計画の中で発見されました。シロアリは落ちた葉っぱを餌としており、外敵に見つからず安全に葉っぱを集めるために木の近くに巣を作ります。木々は等間隔に生えるため、アリ塚も等間隔に立っています。
Yep.
Hmm.
It's pretty weird.
Termites ってアリなの？
No.
アリじゃないんだ。日本語だとシロアリって名前だから、Hmm. アリの種類かと思ったけど、違う。
I'm sure they're related, but I think they're different.
シロアリはゴキブリ目シロアリ科だって。
ゴキブリ目。
うんうん。
何それ？
その分類が。
ああ。
アリとシロアリ。アリとの共通点が多いが、アリとシロアリは全く異なった昆虫であるだって。そうなんだ。Hmm.なんでシロアリって名前にしたのじゃ。
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah, they cleared some of this forest for pasture for animals、mm. to graze there, and they discovered these.
ね、写真見たけどすごいよね。
They're
何これって感じ。
They're almost perfectly spaced. They're quite、mm. large. They're much bigger than, you know, the height of a human.The large ones are like 4 meters tall, and they contain a single vertical channel that's 10 centimeters wide.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's like.
そんなでかいの?
Yeah, and through the center of it, and that's what ants use to drag material、mm. in there. And if you go down that central entrance, it's like a volcano or something.
Hmm.
That links up with the greater network, which is、mm. underground and extends to other mounds、
mm.
nearby. And they've tried taking some of these termites and putting them at another mound nearby. And they don't attack each other or anything. They get along fine.、
Mm.
But if you go too far, so if you take the termites from a mound and then you travel, you know, 10 kilometers away,、
mm.
which is pretty far,then they'll attack each other immediately. So they kind of have a coordinating pheromone、mm. system、mm. that keeps termites where they should be.、
Mm.
I don't know if they have clans or something, but...
なんか親戚と違う国みたいなことなんだろうね。
Yeah, but they're all...You can go from any mound to any nearby mound and there's no problem all the way through.、Mm. Do you know what I'm saying?、
Mm.
So it's still like they're all one species and they're all cool.、
Mm.
Unless someone comes too far. From too far away.
シロアリって女王アリだけじゃなくて王アリがいるんだって。
What's the difference?
その普通のアリって女王アリしかいないじゃん。その生殖する女子が一人いて、みんな。だけど白アリは、
the winged one, right? Has wings. Is that true? Like the queen, or what is it? The queen ant has wings. They call it queen ant, right? It can fly, and the other ants aren't allowed to fly.
They can't fly. そうなんだっけ? I don't remember.
But sometimes a queen ant comes out and is just like telling people what to do.
てかそもそもシロアリがアリじゃないっていうのを今知ったからな。
Well, one thing that's kind of sad about this is, you know, they eat the leaves, right? Well, they cleared the forest, right? What is it called? Forget the name of the Brazilian word for the cantina or something. But they have these weird forests that are like shrubby, deserty, short forests. I don't know if you call it a forest, but, or I don't even know if they're technically trees. It's just some weird vegetation out there. But since they cut them all down, there's no leaves for those termites to eat. So they've been eating leaves there for 4,000 years. And these guys cut that vegetation down. And,
oh, no.
So, I mean, not all of it, just some of it. But the areas that they cleared, those termites will have to
move
to other mounds.
Major migration.
Yeah, there's going to be a migration of termites.
It's pretty historical for them, right?
It's the largest migration in 4,000 years of termites. Yeah.
人類でそんなことだったら大変なことだよ。もう国一個全部引っ越さないきゃいけないぐらいのことじゃん。
Can you imagine if a UFO just showed up and just shaved the rainforest down to nubs and just left? What would we do?
Well, it's more like America, 日本の国土全部の畑とか全部なくなっちゃって、もう日本人全員が引っ越さなきゃいけない。そうだね TPP 引っ越さなきゃいけないことにならないと願うけど、いやすごいことだよね、アリにとって。アリじゃないんだ、シロアリにとって。
いや、why do they、
もう誰名前つけたの。
There's a、YouTube video that I found that shows these mounds. Did you see it? The YouTube video? But I thinkIt was posted on the Cell Biology YouTube page or something. So it's like an official YouTube video to go with their study, you know, which is kind of cool.
Ah, 本当だ。え、この、こう、見えちゃってるじゃん、地面が。で、だからこそ上から見て見えるわけじゃん。え、ここにもっと木が生えてたってこと？
Yeah, yeah.
Ah.、Well,これはじゃあ木を切っちゃったから見
えてるってこと? I'm not sure which part you're looking at. There are parts where they cut down all the trees and you can just see the mounds there in the open, like in the desert. And there's areas where the mounds are just barely shorter than the trees. And so they were hidden for years from even satellite technology or whatever.
Okay.
But now that we know that they're there, you can...普通に look with a satellite and see them.
ね、だってもうくっきり、え、このさ、これあるじゃん。これは切ったからこうなってるってこと。
Yeah, you can see the tree line right there on the right.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can see
くっきり切られちゃってるの。
Yeah.
結構伐採したね。
Yeah. There's no leaves there to eat.
そうだね。あらら。ありゃりゃりゃ。
They're finding a lot of weird things. They found a meteor impact crater in like Iceland or something? Greenland? North Pole, Antarctica, or somewhere really cold with a bunch of ice. I think it's Greenland.
Okay.
Who named Greenland in Iceland? That's so confusing. I'm like, okay, just the icy place with no people and stuff.Yeah. Iceland. No, wait,
no,
that's
Greenland. Greenland, right?
Right. Termite. Yeah. yeah. Yeah, but they're using the drone technology is so much better now. They can fly for much longer. They have much better cameras.
Right.
And the image processing for drone footage is much better now.
Mm.
So they're having drones fly over a lot of areas, particularly in South America, and they're finding old civilizations, old temples, crazy Indiana Jones stuff, like, all the time.
Mm.
Yeah.
面白いね。
I mean, Indiana Jones, now, he just shows up, opens his backpack, takes out his drone, and just flies his drone over the forest, and he's like, oh, there it is, there's the Temple of Doom, or whatever it's called. I don't think that's what it's called, but...
そうだね。すぐ見つかっちゃうね。
Yeah.
夢がないね、その映画。
Like the high-tech Indiana Jones, right? He has all the latest gadgets.
Yeah.
Right? He's got weird particle analyzing stuff, or he can carbon date.
ロープとかいらないよね、もう。
Like, you can have so many high-tech tools now.
Yeah.
You know, that would sequence DNA on the spot and detect. It would just be, you know, Indiana Bond or something. Right?
I guess.
Is that, that's not as cool. You just need a whip and a hat and a revolver. Yep. You're good. And just a little grit.
Yeah. Otherwise, it won't be a movie.
The nerdy Indiana Jones. Don't hurt me. I'm just doing scientific research. I'm an anthropologist.
そうだね。映画にならないね。
Yeah.
次。
Environmental activists blocked traffic at four locations during rush hour in London as part of a civil disobedience campaign organized by activist group Extinction Rebellion. The protesters were handing out flyers and demanding that the government treat climate change and species loss as a crisis. One of the protest organizers stated the following, "This is about causing economic disruption by slowing things down, bringing things to a gridlock. This is an experiment, really. I think that's the most important word." Hundreds of arrests have been made during other protest events organized by the same group, in which people blocked bridges, blocked roads, and in some cases glued themselves to government buildings.
環境活動家のグループ Extinction Rebellion が非暴力的手段で政府への抗議を行う市民的不服従キャンペーンの一環としてロンドンのラッシュアワー中に道路を4カ所封鎖し、政府に対して環境問題と動物絶滅への対応を求めています。グループのメンバーは、交通網を停滞させて経済活動に混乱を与えるのが目的です。これは実験です。と述べています。同グループは過去にも様々な抗議活動を呼びかけており、橋や道路を封鎖したり、自分の手を政府の建物に乗り付けしたりして、参加者数百人が逮捕されています。いいね。Yep. まさにこれまだやってるんだよね。今日と明日も多分。
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a fairly, I think it's a new activist group and...seems like they're recruiting a lot of people and they have a lot of stuff planned to disrupt the economy and and basically cause a ruckus until the government does what they think the government should be doing.
こういうゲリラ的なアクティビスト活動みたいのは日本でやるとその抗議内容が何であれその人たちが単純に怒られるだけで逆に
逆効果
になるみたいな感じになっちゃうんだよね。
Well, in this case, a lot of people were really upset at these activists. And there's videos of people like, get the fuck out of the street. And there are people yelling at the police like, do your fucking job. Like, you know, but that's part of,the point.
Yeah,
you know,
they
want that to happen. And it's interesting. I was reading what some of these protesters and what some of these activists were saying, and they're like, yeah, I don't really know that this is the best approach, you know, but...
まあやってみるのはね、ただだからやってみればいい。
It seems like a lot of the activists are like, yeah, I don't know. I wish we could do something better, but...
なんかイギリスっぽいね。
Yeah, they're not, it doesn't seem, I mean, they're committed, but they're not super excited about having to do it. Like they don't, it seems like a lot of them don't really want to do it, but it's like, well, what else are we going to do at this point? And I'm kind of sympathetic to that feeling. I also don't know if this is the right way to go about it. You really have to know your government. It really depends on the government. This kind of movement can be totally ineffective. Not just the government, you know, your culture and society. The saddest thing is when a bunch of people get together and they're like, we're going to change all this shit. They go out and they disrupt a bunch of stuff and then it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so, and then like now the defenses of the government against that kind of movement are like way stronger than before.
Yeah.
Right? So,
そう難しいんだよね。私もあの環境問題をやってる団体の人たちと話すこと結構あったけど、あの日本でこういうことやろうと思うんだけどどう思うかとかね聞かれたりして、これはワークするかしないかっていう。でこういうゲリラ的なあの結構激しいあのイベント、例えばこう銀行に行って急に何かこうスタント的なことをやるとかね、あのなんか着ぐるみを着てなんか血を流してなんかやるとかさ、そういうなんか血のりね、本当の血じゃなくて、だからそういうのがやっぱりワークする場所もあるから、確かにそれがこう、日本でもやってみようかなって思う気持ちは分かるんだけども、それ多分日本でやると怒る人の方が多くなっちゃって話を聞いてもらわないと思うよとかは何回か言ったんだけど、私個人的にはこういうの結構好きだけどね。あの、やっぱり環境問題についてな、どうにかしなくちゃと思って日々活動している人からすると、あの、特に企業とか政府相手ってなると、何をしたら聞いてもらえるのか、もう手を尽くして、もう尽くしても聞いてもらえない。どれだけこんなに危ないんですよ、こんなに動物が死んでますよ、人類にもこんなに害があるよって、どんだけ調査してどれだけデータを出してどれだけお願いしても聞いてくれない、じゃあもうどうするってなって、もういろんなことやっていろんなことやって、そのうちの一つがもうこれみたいなさ、だからそれはそれで、あの、
I think this approach is not going to work. I don't think it has even the slightest chance of really working. And it kind of polarizes people over the issue in a way that's totally unnecessary. We should all be able to agree based on the science and the facts and discourse playing out over time. The trick is to convince the right people that it's in their interests.
Right.
That's the only way it happens, right? And there are a lot of moving parts to what defines, you know, whether it's in their interests or not. But I think of it as a competing industry. There's industries that are competing, and there's legacy industries that have a lot of power dug in. And there's, I don't know, it's...
前も言ったけど、フランス行った時にちょうどすごいストライキとデモやってて、それはなんだ、企業が、社員をもっと簡単に解雇できるようになる法案が可決したとか、なんかそういうタイミングだったんだけど、やっぱりフランスもユニオンがすごく強いから何でも止められちゃうんだよね。あの、高速道路も封鎖できる、もう水道も止めれば止められるみたいな、なんかわかんないけど、とにかくあのみんなをすごい困らせることができる。でそうすると当然そこに暮らしてる人たちはめちゃくちゃ迷惑被るし、いつも使ってる道が通れないとかで、そういう大きいデモやると何かを破壊したり、まあ、車ひっくり返したりする人も中には出てきたりして、その道もさらに封鎖されてどっか地下鉄使えなくなったりとか、すごい迷惑なんだけど、ただその言ってることの内容は理解できるから、迷惑だしイラってすることもあるけど、それを言いに来てる人たちのことは尊重するみたいな、あの姿勢を持ってる人が結構いて、それはそれでちょっと羨ましいなと思った。こう自分にあんまり関係なかったとしても、 あ、自分がその立場だったら怒るだろうなとか、そのやっぱ体制側に対して声を上げればどうにかなるっていう自信があるから、じゃあまあすごい迷惑だけど、まあ怒らないでおこうかなみたいなのは、なんかこう人間らしいというかさ、それが一番効率的なやり方かどうかは別として、なんかこう人間臭くて結構好きそれは。だからこれもさ、なんていうの、環境問題っていう、この今ここまで来てしまってる、
うん、
で政府と企業はでも経済活動を優先してなかなか対策を講じてないっていう中で、こうやってちょっとさ、なんていうの、いろんな人に迷惑かけて車がじゃあ通れなくなったとかっていうのは、環境問題の重大さに比べたら、まあある意味大したことじゃないわけで、そこをこうもうちょっと寛容にさ、なんかこう、ああみんなに迷惑かけてるとか怒るよりかは、まあ言いたいこと言えばみたいな感じで、なんか優しい目で見る社会であってほしい。
Right. But if everyone just throws a tantrum or just makes demands, and you know, we...Reality is really relativistic. People don't agree on what the level of crisis is. There are people dying for a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with climate change. There's a lot of poverty in the UK that might be, and maybe should, that should be addressed instead of regulating pollution or something. You know,
だからこそ、あの、フランス人の友達と話してると、もう毎週毎週ぐらいデモがあって、もううちの国は本当にデモが好きだから、って言って呆れてる部分もあるけど、だからそれはそれでなんかもう面白い、もはや文化だなって思うけど。
Well, if you block cars and you disrupt the economy, that does hurt the country's ability to respond to the climate problem. And you know, cars just sitting there idling is obviously not good for the environment.
まあね、でもこの数日ぐらいいいじゃん。
But,But what's the message? Is there a clear message from this? Like, what is it that the government should do? This is where it gets lost. Do something for the environment. Do something for the environment. Oh, the Paris Accord. Oh, great. And then it does jack shit, and we're back to square one. There needs to be a real meaningful meme to do something about the environment. And literally the only thing that needs to be done, in my opinion, is pricing externalities on the environment. It's just an economic problem. It's not partisan. It's not any of
this. このグループがどうかわかんないけど、やっぱりいろんな環境活動してる団体が誤解されてるなってよく感じるのは、なんか、ダメダメダメしか言ってないっていうイメージを結構多くの人が持ってる。環境破壊はダメです。こんなことしちゃダメダメしか言ってなくて、ソリューションを提示してない。まあそういうグループももちろんあるんだろうけど、ちゃんと活動してるところは大体結構現実的に物事を見ているから、あの、企業はこういうことができますよとか、改善のために、じゃあここまでは無理でもこれぐらいなら今でもできるでしょうとか、結構提示してるんだよね、実は。だからその理想だけを追い求めて、じゃあもう企業を全部シャットダウンしなさいとか言ってるわけじゃないから、なんかそのやっぱりイメージも、なんだろう。残念だなっていう思う時はある。なんかこう誤解されてる部分があるとか、まあ誤解を与えるような変な団体がいるから、そっちばっかり目立っちゃって、ちゃんと活動しているところが迷惑かかってるっていうのももちろんあると思うんだけどね。
If I go around asking environmentalists what they think the real problem is and what should be done, I don't, you know, what sort of answers do you think I'm going to get? People are notUnited on identifying what the issue actually is and what we should actually do about it. I mean, I think it's that the economic incentives are bad. It's not that bad people are going around doing bad things to the environment on purpose. They're making all their choices. But
話したら分かるよ。なんか別にこう、なんていうの、企業と政府はもう絶対的な悪でなんちゃらみたいな言ってる人の方が多分すごい少なくて。実際話してると本当に、なんだろう。とりあえずそんな理想を追い求めてもしょうがないから、一歩一歩できることを提示していくっていう感じで。だから、なんだろう。そんな夢追い人みたいな、こう、曖昧なことを言ってる人の方が少ない。
What do you think of the name of this organization?
Extinction Rebellion?
Yeah.
I don't know. これは何人ぐらいいるもんなんだろうね。それかその所属してない人もこのイベントに参加してるっていうことだよね、きっと。
I think they're just whoever.
そうだよね。
You know, it's kind of like the tree hugger movements way back in the
'70s
or whatever, the '60s. But like people would, you know, chain themselves to trees and.
でもいいと思う。やっぱなんかさ、こういうのを言えなくなっちゃうとか、言わなくなっちゃうっていう方が怖いわけだからさ、とか諦めちゃって、なんかこんなことしても無駄だしとか、なんかすごい jaded な状態にみんながなっちゃうことの方が怖いから。
Yeah. I wish they'd all just get together and start a company and start, you know, just solve problems themselves. If everyone did that, we'd be done in a week. You know, if people just started really taking on...these problems themselves. I mean, how many entrepreneurs do we really have working on these on this stuff? It's not that many. You know how many people have financial investments in oil companies? It is insane. And that's like shitloads of people, like just tons and tons of people that they, so like people's financial investmentsDon't really align with like their values in real life. It's just a financial decision, right?
それについてあのなんだっけ、Rainforest Action Network とか、あのディカプリオがあの活動してる、What was the name of the group? They そこはやっぱりその investments にすごい注目してるから、なぜなら結局一番お金が動いてるのってそこじゃん。銀行が融資してるとか。あのいろんな企業が投資してるとか、そこでエネイブラーになってしまってるわけだから、それはやっぱりで、日本の銀行は特にあの先進国の中でもそこを全く気にしてない、気にしてないで、あのそういう環境にをめちゃくちゃ破壊している企業なり業界にどんどんお金を流してる。だからそれをきちんとデータにして調査して、まあ、発表して銀行にも呼びかけて話をしに行ってしている人たちはたくさんいるんだよね。
There's definitely a lot of money going to the wrong places.
そうなの。だからそれをやっぱり銀行とかがまず認識してないか、認識したとしても問題視してない。で、国民、一般の人たちもそれを、まあ、まず知らない人も多いと思うし、知っても別にこう銀行に直接文句言いに行ったり、じゃあその銀行を使うのやめようというふうにならないから、結局、銀行にも何もネガティブな面がないっていう状態になっちゃってるから、それを変えないといけないよねっていう活動をしてる人たちはいるんだよね。
I think there should be a lot more discussion among environmentalists about investing in alternative energy companies themselves, companies that are on the stock market, and giving them the resources they need to beat their competitors. This is a industrial...battle that is going to determine the outcome here. It's not so much government policy. It really isn't. You know, it's. その
活動してる団体がそんなにお金あるわけじゃないからね。
I mean, it's government policy as far as, you know, the externalities thing and perhaps a carbon tax or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, we have companies that are trying to solve the problem, and we have companies that are actively trying to do the opposite of solve the problem, right? Yeah. And that's fairly apparent. But I don't hear that much from environmentalists about trying to support companies that are trying to save the world. Like I'm stunned at how many environmentalists are so critical of Tesla or Elon and this sort of thing. Like, hey, you know.How else are we going to get out of the pickle? Seriously.
まあそういう人たちもいるんだろうけど、別にそれがみんなってわけじゃないから。
Well, I'm not saying it's everyone, obviously. I'm not saying any generalizations about everyone, anything. It's just...
So if you focus on those, you know, activists who are somehow critical of Tesla, then yeah, maybe you can say...
There's a shitload.
These people,
it's
but...
It's so irrational.And they don't, but, they're against electric vehicles. I see this online. There's a movement among environmentalists against electric vehicles, and they're buying the craziest propaganda, you know, from these from these legacy auto manufacturers. I mean, there's a lot of disinformation in there that's undermining the efforts of real environmentalists, I think.
だから多分難しいのはその環境活動家って言ってもいろんな人たちがいるから、それをやっぱ一括りにすること自体がなんかなかなかおかしくなるよね。多分ね。
うん。
だからやっぱりちゃんと活動してる人たちの足を引っ張ることになる。まあフェミニズムとかフェミニストとかもそうだけど、結局こう変なこと言ってる人が他の人の足を引っ張るっていうのはどこにでもあるね。だから。
But there should be some diligence as to, you know, you're not helpful just by calling yourself an activist. You have to actually be helpful. That's what I'm saying. You know, with any of these labels, any group, there is reason to be to acknowledge. Otherwise, it's this totally incohesive, incoherent thing that gets disregarded, and that's been the problem thus far. You know, so there's a lot of.
まあ誰でもそう自分で名乗れるものだからさ、それをやっぱり他の人が見たときにそれを基準にして generalize してしまうと残念なことになるよね。その環境もそうだし、そういうフェミニストとかもそうだけど。
I'm not. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Obviously, if you generalize a group, you're not seeing reality. But
yeah.
That doesn't mean then whatever. You know, we still have to solve the problem. That's the whole point.
Yeah, and
right?
There are people who are working on it out there, and I'd rather call them, you know, the actual activists rather than these crazy people who believe all these propagandas and just spread misinformation and mm-hmm. not doing anything about anything and not being helpful, you know? So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad people are trying to be helpful. I hope climate change is not as serious as it could be. I really do.
which will lead to our next topic, right?
Yeah, sure. A new paper by Nick Bostrom titled The Vulnerable World Hypothesis raises the possibility that humans will eventually invent a technology fatal to ourselves. Bostrom states the following in his paper: "What we haven't extracted so far is a black ball, a technology that invariably or by default destroys a civilization that invents it. The reason is not that we have been particularly careful or wise in our technology policy, we have just been lucky." Bostrom then lays out several types of blackball technologies which could result in our demise. Type 1, something easy to create or obtain, but as powerful as a nuclear bomb. An example could be an engineered bacteria or virus or something. Type 2A, a technology which creates a first-strike advantage situation, similar to the Cold War. Type 2B, worse global warming, any situation that occurs as an accumulation of actions taken by many people using technology, for example, fossil fuels. And type 0, there is some technology that carries a hidden risk such that the default outcome when it is discovered is inadvertent civilizational devastation. Some people speculate this could be general AI. Bostrom believes we are susceptible to these scenarios due to what he calls the semi-anarchic default condition. Our limited capacity for preventative policing, our limited capacity for global governance, and the existence of diverse motivations among human beings.
ニック・ボストラム氏が The Vulnerable World Hypothesis と名付けた新しい論文の中で、人類が自らを破滅に追い込む技術を開発する可能性について、これまで人類がそうした技術によって打撃を受けていないのは、私たちが注意深いからでも、賢く法律を運用してきたからでもなく、単純にラッキーだっただけであると述べています。ボストロム氏は人類を絶滅に向かわせる技術の種類として4つ挙げています。一つはウイルスのように製造や取得が簡単で、かつ核爆弾ほどの威力があるもの。二つ目は冷戦のように先制攻撃で圧倒的有利な状況を生み出せる技術。 3つ目は石油の消費のように地球上の多くの人々の行動が積み重なって気候変動をより悪化させるもの。4つ目は人工知能のように気づいた時にはすでに想定外のダメージをもたらしているリスクをはらんだ技術です。ボストロム氏によると、人類は予防的な取り締まりやグローバルガバナンスの実行に限りがある上、人類の間でもそれぞれアジェンダが異なるため、こうしたシナリオに陥る余地があるとのことです。
Yep.
助けて、じゃあどうしたらいいの？
uh-huh. Well, it may not be true. We may not live in that kind of world. But he makes a pretty strong case that we do. And it's very difficult to be certain that we don't live in the world described in this vulnerable world hypothesis, which is that essentially, if technology continues to improve, eventually, just a matter of time, eventually a technology will emerge that meets one of these criteria. Either something that's easy to obtain but too powerful. And so, like, you can't control everyone, right? So just one crazy person, you know, rents some private lab somewhere and concocts some crazy bacterial pandemic super swine flu something. You know, that's doesn't seem entirely impossible, right? And it's possible that we discover something that's like a nuclear bomb, but way more powerful and cannot be intercepted. And if that were the case, I don't know, maybe a space laser, some crazy thing, we don't know, there would be, in times of extreme political tension, incentive to use the weapon first, because whoever doesn't use the weapon first is already gone.
Right.
Right? The mutual destruction idea is like, if you launch your nukes, we can launch our nukes before your nukes land. So you're actually bombing yourself.
Right.
But if the nuke gets there so fast that they can't, or they can't detect it or some, you know, then you don't have that mutual thing anymore. And so something like the Cold War may not work out as nicely. And then there's technologies that are just too useful and we all get addicted to them and they just gradually either erode our humanity or erode the planet or whatever. It's just on a, just overall human beings just use them. And,
right.
And so we kind of suffocate ourselves slowly. Or the worst is type zero vulnerability. The moment you discover this technology, pretty much civilization is doomed.
Right.
And some people have thought general AI might do something like that, or whatever's after general AI might do something like that. There was the idea that the Trinity nuclear test could, well, Bostrom wrote about it, so let me just read this. Suppose that careful calculations had shown there was a 1% probability that a nuclear detonation would ignite the atmosphere and the oceans, and thereby extinguish life on Earth. Suppose, further, that it had been known that to resolve the matter further and prove that the chance was zero, or, alternatively, that the chance was one, would take another 10 years of meticulous study. It is unclear, under those circumstances, what the leaders of the Manhattan Project would have decided. They would presumably have thought it greatly desirable that humanity hold off on developing nuclear weapons for at least another 10 years. On the other hand, they would have feared that Germany might have an advanced bomb project and that Hitler maybe would not pull the brakes because of a 1% risk of destroying the world. They might have concluded that the risk of testing a nuclear bomb was worth taking in order to reduce the probability of Nazi Germany ending up with a nuclear monopoly. So there are these kinds of situations
right.
that can develop where it's like, well, there's a 1% chance that this thing will ignite the atmosphere and destroy everything on Earth. But if we don't test it and the Germans get it first, then we're screwed. So let's just do it, you know. So
人類全部が死ぬか、ナチスに征服された世界に生き残るか、どっちがいいかって言った時に、じゃあもう人類全部死ぬかもしれないけど、こっちやっとこうみたいな。
Well, they decided that they'd rather take the risk of I don't know what the exact math on this was, but they decided to take the risk of incinerating the atmosphere and all of planet Earth to make sure that they developed the bomb first before Germany.
Right.
We didn't know with absolute certainty what would happen, you know, when they were messing around with that stuff in the Manhattan Project.
Yeah. だから人類っていうのはさ、変なところでそういうリスクを取る生き物なんだよね。
Yeah.
こう追い詰められた時にどういう選択をするかっていうのが。
This is why it's becoming more and more important for humans to get along. The possibility of global human extinction, you know, people say it was so dangerous before, you know. Everyone was getting killed by woolly mammoths or Neanderthals or whatever. Sure. But I love globalization, don't get me wrong. But globalization makes the Earth very vulnerable because the whole world is connected to the same problem. And I think if we're going to be a globalized world, which I think we should do, we also need Mars. Otherwise, you have one basket. Right? It's ridiculous. Yeah. And that's never been the case before. Because before, you know, civilizations have been crushed by the Mongols or whatever. You know, people have just been getting crushed. And that's fine because that's just something happening on that continent and that area or this place, right? You know, but in a globalized world, one disease gets on an airplane and it's a wrap, right?
Yeah.
It's extremely dangerous to have the whole world be connected the way it is now. Even on an informational level, it's dangerous. But it's way more productive. And it's for individual humans, I think we're all better off.
Yeah.
As long as we don't destroy the entire planet, it's amazing.
Yeah. だからここまで来てやっぱり国同士でいがみ合ってるっていうのがいかにこうバカバカしいかっていう、そのやっぱり政府同士っていうのはいろんなアジェンダがあって、自分の国の経済活動をうまくいかせないといけないし、いろんな思惑があってベストを求めていくうちになかなか他の政府と仲良くなれないっていうのはあると思うんだよね。ただそれとやっぱり一般の普通のそれと関係ない人たち、直接関係ない人たちがその政府のいざこざに引きずられてお互いこう嫌な感情を持ち合うっていうのは本当にバカバカしいなって最近特に思う。なんかこうそういういざこざ系のニュースがあるたびに思うよね。特に韓国とか中国とか、日本のその関係性っていうのを見たときに、自分個人としては何もされたことないし、何かしたわけでもないし、普通に隣同士住んでたり会社で働いてたら仲良くできるのに、こうその国の人っていうアイディア上ではいがみ合う人たちがいるっていう。
Well, people think that way across time too. So they hold grudges across generations of people.
そうそう。だからその、第二次世界大戦があって実際に人がたくさん死んだり、生き残ったとしてもすごいひどい目に遭った人たちがいて、それが終わってもう次の世代ってなってもそれがまだダメージを与え続けるっていうのは本当に怖いことだよね。
Yeah.I mean, you see it sometimes, like, if something, I mean, not recently, but something Japan-related comes up and it was, you know, people would start talking about Pearl Harbor or something online.
Yep.
You know, people get triggered. It's like the only thing they can think of is Pearl Harbor. And then they go back and, you know, they're watching their Sony TV or whatever.
So.
But If you talk to people that were, you know, my grandpa fought in World War II against the Japanese, and both sides of my family were in the war on opposite sides, obviously. So what are they supposed to do with someone like me?
Right.
Right? This gets weird. Now that can happen to anyone's family. Happen to. Like, it's a bad thing. but obviously, my families couldn't hold a grudge over that sort of thing.
Right.
I was, I was talking to my, so I went to Kakegawa recently, and I was talking to my oba-chan, and she was telling me stories. She was in a peach tree. She was eating wild peaches on some mountain somewhere, as like, P-51s, American aircraft are just strafing nearby factories, and I think it's like Makinohara or something, but all these places, she knows all the places that got hit, you know, by planes and stuff. And she was telling me how scary it was. And it's like, why doesn't the Japanese, you know, why doesn't our government send planes? It's like, turns out we didn't really have planes. Like, nobody had shoes in Japan unless you were in the military. You made your own shoes. It's really crazy to hear about it. But, she's like, she was saying, obviously, I mean, she's biased, but it's a good thing that Japan lost that war, and what the Japanese government did was, you know, unforgivable. And she told this interesting story how towards the end of the war, you know, the American planes just bombing everything, they dropped leaflets, just little leaflets, little bits of paper that said, if you guys don't surrender, then all the Japanese people will be dead. Everyone in Japan will be dead if your emperor doesn't surrender. And she she said that it was the quality of the paper that convinced everyone that they were fucked and that they had to surrender. It's like, how can they afford to just drop all this high quality paper all over the place? Because people were struggling that bad at the time in Japan. But
いろんな人がこう、まあ、ツイッター上とかでも言い合ったりとか、まあ、特定の国の悪口をお互い言い合ったりしているのとかを見ていて、こう戦争って結局国が作ったストーリーがあるわけじゃない？だから例えばアメリカだったら第二次世界大戦は民主主義を守るための、ナチスが世界征服しないための正義のための戦争だったわけじゃん。だから核兵器を落としたことも正当化して考える人もたくさんいるし、まあ、パールハーバーがあったしとかいろいろストーリーがあって、日本は日本で、まあ、いろんなストーリーがあって最終的に原爆を落とされたから、ある意味こう、まあ、ものすごい被害者意識もある。で、それは広島とか長崎にその場にいた人とか、それで影響を受けた人は当然被害者なわけだから、そういう気持ちがあるのも当たり前。だけどその被害者、特にそれによって直接被害を受けなかった人もやっぱりその教育があるから、そういう意識を持ってるわけじゃん。原爆を落とされた国です、被害者みたいな。だ、結局ひどいことをそんなにしたっていうことよりもそこに一番フォーカスがいってる。で、それはある意味アメリカのせいでもあるわけじゃん、それを落としたから、っていう、なんかその複雑なストーリーが国によって全然異なっていて、それが、
Every country tells a different story to people.
そうで、それが噛み合ってない。で、それっていうのは別にその国民一人一人のせいじゃなくて、そもそもは戦争っていうものに突っ込んでいったその時の政府とか、まあ、天皇なり、その何、司令官なり、その人たちなわけじゃん。だから怒るんだったらその人たちに怒るべきであって、その国民同士はそれに巻き込まれた被害者であるわけだから、みんなが、その人たち同士がいがみ合ったり、こうなんて言うんだろう、悪口言い合ったりするのは本当にもったいないっていうか、なんか意味がないよね。
I think it would be useful for people to imagine being in my position. Because I know a lot of people that are, you know, they're half Korean or half Japanese or half whatever. And it kind of makes a mockery of those distinctions that we make, especially as something to war over. But, you know, part of it is that it's not just recently that they started, that countries have been telling their people a different story. That's always kind of been the case. And so there's a challenge of building a unifying story for humanity. So
そう、結局なんかこう、まあその慰安婦の話とかもそうだけども、何か日本にされましたっていう話を聞くと、すごくディフェンシブになって、お前も他の国に何かやったじゃんみたいな。
うん、
でもそれは本当にみんなそうだから、戦争の時っていうのはみんなそうで、自分の国の人も、みんなじゃないにしろ、なんだろう、まあ人を殺したりとか、殺すだけじゃなくて、本当にもう言えないようなひどいことをした人だってたくさんいるだろうし、
うん、
逆にされたこともあるだろうし、なんか戦争ってそういうものだから、それをこう終わった後に、その子孫の代までお互い言い合うことに意味はあるのかなっていう。の感じよね。だからまあこういうふうにマイケルの存在もそうだし、うちの、まあ私の夫はハーフだけど、国籍的にアメリカ人で、で、うちの息子はクォーターだし、とか、で、うちのおばあちゃんは、もちろん戦争の時生きてたから、あの、東京大空襲の時に家を全部焼かれちゃったとかね。だけど別に、孫がアメリカ人と結婚してどうこうっていうことじゃないわけじゃん。だ、私の夫がなんかしたわけじゃないから。
That's a quite hard question though. Like, who did do something? Like, what's responsible for this? Is there some cultural substance there that should be attacked? You know, people are trying to figure out, you know, how this stuff happens. And I think a lot of people in a lot of countries feel like they were victimized. I think everyone is kind of victimized by the circumstances. That's usually what happens.
そうなんだから、みんなある意味被害者であって、その時の政府にじゃあどうにかして方向性を変えるようにできたかって言ったら、そうじゃなかったから起きたわけじゃん。
うん。
だからなんかそれをもうちょっと教育でこう世界的に言えないもんかねって思うけどね。
Well, I'm sympathetic with anyone who, you know, who has very strong opinions either way. You know, when I was growing up, I was very strongly, I had the American narrative. Some of that's probably still there. And then I had the other narrative here. And, I went to Hiroshima. And the museum there is incredible. I think people should...go there and try to take it in. But yeah, I mean, the main thing you get out of it is just how much of it is actually a misunderstanding and a tragedy, right? It's scary to think that it could have been avoided.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 本当にそう。
Is that philosopher Jacques Ellul, or I don't know how to say his name, but he says there are no political solutions, only technological ones. And he wrote a lot about what he means by that, and a lot about propaganda. And oftentimes it's propaganda that gets us in trouble. You know, we're trying to get an edge, and then we confuse ourselves. We lose track of reality a little bit.Countries can do this with enormous numbers of people. Not everyone has to be on board. You know, most of the people are, you know, just living their lives. But a narrative can take hold even while everyone's just living their lives, you know. So.
Yeah, and it all comes down to education, I think.
What do you think of this technology aspect of it? Like, on some level...Bostrom suggests some technological relinquishment, you know, some, hey guys, let's chill out. We don't need to make all this crazy, you know, robot drone
war
technology.
Is that what he's saying though? Is that what was implied in the paper?
He suggests it as an option. He's quite serious about it. I mean, Bostrom is very logical and he will follow...that wherever it goes, even if it sounds insane. I mean, that's how he got his simulation theory.
Right.
So well down on paper. But there is a sort of neo-Luddite feel to his paper. It kind of feels like he's saying, you know, if we keep going like this with this crazy technological innovation, something may pop up that's extremely dangerous. And maybe any suggest, like, maybe we just need to be aware of that being a possibility. And as long as we're all ready for that to happen, then if something pops up that's dangerous, then we can all mobilize or something. But then he says he's skeptical that that's how it's going to work, you know?
Right.
And that if something, well, so let's say you have an extremely powerful AI that is weaponized, right? Whether it can just manipulate how people perceive reality on the internet or whatever. What would the United States do with that? What would Russia do with that? What would China do with that? What would these countries do with that? You know, it's like one of these scenes in a movie, like they call in, it's like Contact or like that UFO movie. Well, they call in some experts and it's like, hey, this technology is so crazy. And you got some guys in lab coats standing around looking at this thing like, my God, like if anyone got their hands on this. You know, that's what it was like with the nuclear bomb. They couldn't believe this thing was real.
Yeah. Well, in the history, if humans have once decided that it was worth trying to use something that could have destroyed everything, then powerful AI seems nothing, right? I mean, they can't.
Well, that decision was in the hands of only a few people. There was only
exactly
50 people max that had anything to do with that decision, right?
Probably Trinity. More like two, right? Well, in the end.
Well, you need to have a lot of people collaborating because anyone that doesn't like the decision could sabotage it.
Do you remember the tipping point paper that we talked about before?
What, the 20% thing? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 2 people out of 10
yeah.
could just change the entire tone of the group discussion.
Maybe.
So compared to that, powerful AI is in a way nothing, right? It's not a bomb that could destroy, like literally physically destroy this planet. So they would be in their mind, in these two guys' minds. So of course they would use it. That's what I'm saying.
I'm so scared of AI. I can't think about it. I just get scared. It's so scary. You know, like just something being there that's just so much more intelligent than us is very weird. Whether it's evil or not evil or whatever, it's very weird.
Well,
so,
I guess
we'll meet the alien if that happens, right?
If they were aliens, if they were physical forms, physical beings, that's better, right? Because that's like cats and us.
Is it? I think
we share the same living space. So,
yeah, well,
to some extent, we have similar motivation.
But I don't think AI will do that. I don't think it'll give itself a body and a name and walk around.
That's what I'm saying. So,
wear jeans.
We don't have the same interests to, let's say, protect this planet or that kind of stuff. Like, we're not sharing these sentiments or the same goals. I've been reading Childhood's End, and that's a very interesting thought experiment.
What's the premise?
The aliens come here, and or this unknown living alien thing, whatever, shows up like the movie Arrival style. They're just floating. And then for 50 years or something, no one sees them. Like, we don't know what they look like. We don't know who they are. We don't know why they're here, but then they're here. And you can only tell that they have like intelligence and technologies and everything. And they give advices to humans and make everything so much better. Now there are no wars, you know, whatever, climate change, like everything is resolved thanks to them.
It's kind of boring.
And that's how the story starts. So that's the world they're in.
Okay.
And at first they're like, we're not going to show what we look like because it's going to bother you guys and we kind of want to take our time.
They're really ugly.
and
they're too beautiful.
They look like
you can't
devils.
Take that. They're too beautiful.
Like they're like red and huge and they have a tail or something. Like they look weird.
Maybe they are devils.
Yeah, so the story starts there, and then humans are way more happier. Like they have basic income and all kinds of stuff. They don't need to work anymore. If they do, that's only when they want to buy like different stuff or whatever, you know, like hobbies, and they want to travel, and the kinds of work that people do are all different now, right? It's more like fun and whatever. And so the story starts there, and the thing is, no one knows why they're doing this for the humans,
like why they're so nice.
Yeah, and that's like this lingering mystery. And I've only read like maybe one third of it or something. So I still don't know why they're doing this.
There's no such thing as a free lunch suspicion on a galactic scale.
I don't know. But they seem genuine about this whole thing. And they seem really nice and whatever. But I'm not sure.
We won't be able to help but project our kind of human characteristics on them. It's like, this is kind of ayashi.
Yeah, and the world that the author created for this for the book, it's a good thought experiment. You know, with the idea, I mean, it's a really old book, but they have this concept of basic income and, you know, that kind of stuff, like where humans are going with the technological advancement and, you know, no wars and that kind of stuff. So, 結構面白いよ.
How do you think it ends?
I have no idea. That's why it's interesting. I don't know where it's going. I don't know what this book is about.
Can you guess how it ends? Just from your intuition? You don't have any... Does everyone die? Everyone lives?
I have no idea.
The aliens or...
I really have no idea. It's not... You know, I think good stories are always like that. Like you can't really summarize it in one sentence and you don't really know where it's gonna go.
Yeah, there's bad stories that are like that too, like Lost.
Well, Lost, well, it doesn't go anywhere. That's the point.
So
if it's not going anywhere, and if it was never gonna go anywhere, then it's an arty story, right?
An arty story.
Like art movie or something, like eccentric movie. But if they imply that it is going to go somewhere and it doesn't, then that's just bullshit.
What do you think is implied, just generally, if you're a human being that shows up on Earth and you appear and you grow up and you start walking around, is there an implication that the human enterprise, the human race, is going somewhere? Like we're about to do something? Or is there a unified human objective? Like we're people that walk on two legs on this planet, and
we just want to be happy and be lazy. That's what the technological advancement was supposed to be all about. So that the robots are going to do all the work. We don't have to do shit except for like going to the beach and, you know, sleep in the hammock or whatever.
And what if you get tired of...
Then do something else. Go scuba diving. I don't know. Anything. Yeah. But
so you don't
sit
think there's
in front
an
of the
implied...
computer and work all day until you die. I thought that was what... These computers and everything was all for, but unless we get basic income, that's not going to happen, I guess.
So you don't think that there's some implied, like uniting humans are doing this thing right now. Welcome to the party with all the humans. And we're doing this thing. Help us do this thing. Or that's not really like a... Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or do you just show up here and it's like, figure it out on your own, try to survive, like try to get by? Or is it like you're here to help with like a greater mission, or you're just here trying to like...
I hope that's not the case.
You're just here trying to like figure out your own shit and everyone else figures out their shit.
So it's no way, you know.
Yeah, but then we're way more likely to have this vulnerable world hypothesis is if everyone's off on their own kick. Right.
まあそれはそれで。
Right, but then you have to have that attitude towards countries too. Like countries can just go and do their own shtick, right?
Right.
And if that results in conflict, then it's like, well, this is what we believe. Tough shit. We want to battle it out. It's just.
I don't know. I like how. So we have the new screen time feature in our iPhones, right? So
yes,
and I use it all the time. I love that.
Do you use it too much? You might be looking at your screen time.
No, no. But like I set the
screen
timer っていうか何リミット on social media because otherwise I'll be looking at Twitter like all day, every chance I get. So and it's so nice to know that you can just live your own life.
What if your screen live your time? Own life? What if that screen time managing thing was like a switch on like the side of your forehead, like right here, right?
Yeah.
It was like a little, like if it was implanted into your head, because you're like delegating this function, this brain function to like this, like,
oh yeah,
you're not trying to manage right. it yourself. You don't want to manage it. So you have this manage it. It's like this meta pre-managing or whatever we're doing. You know,
and it's so convenient.
Yeah, but then I don't know. It makes me feel weird. Like the Fitbit thing is weird. It's like it's the number is increasing. Yes, it's like wow. Am I just this? I'm like a single celled organism. Like it's so. You know, it's like the like economy in that Instagram. The whole thing is kind of we're getting.
I don't know. It kind of shows you the reality of like how much time you spend. On your phone without even realizing how many hours.
I don't really have, I might be a mild social media user. I don't know.
Or just your phone in general throughout the day.
Okay, so I have the iPhone SE and they're. My apartment is like under construction and there's like horrible things going on. And that battery does not last very long. It's actually my low battery life that is managing my social media use. If the phone had a much better battery, then I'd be like, oh yeah, I can just waste time. But I have a conscious feeling of like, oh, I'm burning phone battery when I do something. So it kind of has to be worth it.
Also having a child helps.
Yeah,
management.
iPhone use management
because the app that I use the most now is the clock feature because I'm timing the breastfeeding no duration. だからストップウォッチ一番使ってる一日の中で。So
yeah, that's all kind of app oriented too, right?
Yeah.
It's weird optimizing stuff. You know, you want everything to be better and smoother, right? But you get it so optimized and you end up like Steve Jobs just wearing these black turtlenecks every fucking day. Like there's a certain level of optimization where it's like, wow, this is really sterile feeling.
Yeah, like, not fun.
It's kind of, oh, like this is so efficient. And then you just kind of become like a machine.
だから効率と生産性を求めすぎるとなんかおかしなことになるよね。
Right?
だからそれはやっぱり企業がやればいいことであって個人がやるべきことではないというか、何突き詰めすぎることではないというか、そうするともう生きてること自体がなんていうの効率的じゃないみたいな。
What was that philosopher's name? I've mentioned him before, but he was criticized for being for having a stick up his ass. Because he would just, you know, you could set your watch by the time that he left his house in the morning to go for a walk. Like he was so exact with everything that it, I don't know, that was the primary impediment to him spreading his ideas is that it's just there's something about it when you get too regimented and controlled that it's just like, all right, dude, this is getting weird.
I think I used to be somewhat brainwashed by the corporate world that I would want to be as efficient as possible in whatever I do. Because the if you work at a consulting firm or probably like other many other firms too, it's like what they tell you is like wasting other people's time is like the worst sin. It's like a crime. So,
and by the way, we have a meeting in 5 minutes.
Yeah, so you gotta be super efficient, right? And you kind of start treating yourself as like a machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you wake up a certain time every day, you work for hours and hours and hours, and you kind of forget that you're just a living animal that has good days and bad days, and maybe you're tired today, maybe tomorrow it's better. Like every day it's different. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not a machine, but you forget that. And I kind of gradually left that, you know, so you like a 考え方 after I quit work. But 今なんか, now that I'm with a baby, it's
you kind of have to be efficient to some degree, right?
Yeah, but it's also in my face every day that he's a human and he's not a machine. So every day it's different. Like maybe today he wants to sleep way more than yesterday. Mm. And sometimes I'm like, why is it like this? Why is it not working? But then I'm like, well,
he's a human.
He's a human. He's not a machine. So of course, you know, of course sometimes he wants to just cry for no reason. Of course, you know.
Well, and there's only
that's a good feeling.
Only one of two things can be flexible, right?
What?
Either the person or the system.
Yeah.
Only one of those two things can be flexible. Yeah. You can't have both.
Yeah.
Right? So the less flexible the system is, the more flexible humans have to be to accommodate this, to obey the system.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if the system is more flexible, then humans don't have to be as flexible.
Yeah.
Right? It's, I don't know. Managing humans and I guess managing yourself and managing in general. It's just kind of oddly, it has these weird feedback loops to your, to your mentality.
So, だからなんだろうね? I think I'm a natural control freak usually. Demo.
Mm-hmm.
I think living with a baby is actually good for me because nothing is controllable and and that's okay.
Well, that's
for once.
Well, in a lot of situations, trying to control it would actually cause you to lose even more control.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And
be grateful for the control that you have.
Yeah. So it's actually nice to just go with the flow, or having to go with the flow every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any other choice. So
I'm in the total.
That's
like,
good.
I'm in the. I'm definitely in an oddly regimented schedule. Like, I wake up at like exactly 8-ish. Exactly 8-ish. I just go outside like half awake, and I just start. I don't know. It's if you're working with a lot of other people, like if you have to respond to a lot of stuff, and there's messages coming in all the time, and people are asking you what to do or something, then there's a certain amount of, you start to become a problem if you're not like kind of regimented and you set your schedule
organized.
Organized.
Mm. Yeah. So now,
what's the best way to do it?
I don't know.
It's weird to wake up with like no plan. You remember like summer vacations when you were in high school or something? You wake up, it's like a random Tuesday, no school, no plans, no nothing. No, you just wake up, it's like,
what am I going to do today?
I'm going to go back to sleep. You're just whatever.
Yeah.
Right? You just, you just text someone, it's like, yo, what are you doing? Nothing.
Cool. We weren't even texting back then, so.
Well, yeah, we were. There was texting.
I guess.
There's some basic texting. You had to press each key like 4 times or whatever.
And we'll like call each other.
All my spaces were like underscore.
Yeah.
Like, hey, underscore. what's underscore? It's like, where's the space? I couldn't find it on like one
and
of my...
No emoji.
Yeah. If there was a button on top of Mount Everest, a big red button, and if you hit that button, Earth would explode, right?
Yeah.
Someone would go up there and hit that button, right?
Yeah. Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, like someone would go up there. and I think in the simplest terms, that's kind of the premise of this whole thing. It's like...
what humans are?
Yeah. I mean, the whole... this vulnerable world hypothesis.
That's so true, though. Someone will definitely push the button.
Right. That's the whole... like, this whole paper... I mean, it's rude to sum it up that way, but to me, I kind of sum it up as like, someone's going to push the button. So if we keep innovating, we'll eventually make a button.
And someone will push it.
And like the one of the hardest places to access is the top of Everest.
Yeah.
But even then, someone's going to climb up there and push that fucking button.
Yeah.
So that's the vulnerable world hypothesis, is that we might make a button and Buscemi... not to disparage his name, just
excessively. We just don't remember his character name. That's all.
Yeah, his Steve Buscemi's character
is going to freak out and push it.
It's going to push the button. Yeah.
Okay. 文字起こしのテキストは Android、iPhone、Mac、iPad のバイリンガルニュース公式アプリからゲットできますので試してみてください。最初の3話は無料で月額240円で全部のテキスト読み放題という激安プランもあります。バイリンガルニュース .jp 公式サイトではストアもありますのでよろしくお願いします。今の季節にぴったりな宇宙トレーナーもあるよ。インスタグラム、ツイッター、フェイスブックやってるのでフォローお願いします。
お願いします。Today's Thanksgiving, right?
あ、そうなの？
Right?
そうなんだ。
Someone texted me that on the way here. I'm like, what?
あ、そうなんだ。
Today's Thanksgiving? But apparently you don't know either, so...
Well, I'm thankful.
I'm like creating an erroneous today's Thanksgiving rumor. I'm not even sure. I think today's Thanksgiving, so...
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
It is, right? Whatever. I think it is.
Owari.
I'm committed. Bye.
Bye.